from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Browns and Cowboys ahead of week one. We are within 10 days of that. Football is back. We got great college football this weekend. I'm going to react to what Sean had to say in a minute there, but we are back on Afternoon Drive. Nick Wilson with you. We got the Pulse with Keith coming up in just about 40 minutes time. We'll also talk distractions. From what we talked about, the distractions with Sean in Dallas, we'll talk about him with James Rapine, Bengals Talk SI, and host of the Locked On Bengals podcast as well, coming up in an hour. But like, I actually do think that at least 2023 was pretty predictable. And, you know, at the time, you know, leading into that, as after Deshaun had not played for roughly 700 days, you know, I had said, I'd kind of hardline and be like, no, of course there shouldn't be rust. And then predictably there was rust, and Deshaun was playing in a system that didn't benefit him. And I'll be honest with you, I think that mattered as much as not playing for 700 days. Where Sean and I disagree is just trying to put the last 2 years of Deshaun in one bucket, I think is the thing that if you've been in Dallas and haven't watched every game that Deshaun has played the last 2 years, makes sense. In Cleveland, I think we should know a little bit better. And this is where it gets conflated with Deshaun apologist. Like that, I've been called that before simply because I refuse to say we're on the precipice of this being the worst trade in NFL history and then say vitriolic things about Deshaun. I don't necessarily feel rosy about the trade at this moment. I have a fair amount of concerns like everybody else does. He was bad in 2022, and he was better in 2023. I don't know how to quantify how well he did or didn't play. But I think if you look at the way he played and go back and actually, it's not just the stats, although the stats last year are better than the year before. But if you look at his comfort level, yes, there were consistency issues last year, and I do wonder how much of that was with the shoulder injury, because I'll be honest with you, I don't think anybody outside of the Browns knows, and Deshaun, knows when that shoulder injury truly happened. Did he come into the season with it? All right, because again, there were some games. Did it happen where, Highsmith hit him, pretty much unabated the quarterback, which allowed TJ Watt to scoop and score for what eventually was the win week two last year? Was it the Tennessee game? I don't think it was any later than that, because I also refuse to believe, maybe not refuse as strong, but I have trouble believing that the first shoulder injury and the second shoulder injury weren't related, if not very similar injuries. But or one led to the other. So I think that's what makes the Deshaun thing so hard to properly talk about, because you need a 15-minute rejoinder just to go through it. So honestly, the more I thought about it, though, the more happy I am that this is where we are with the Browns, because I do think if everyone's saying, I don't know what to make of the Browns because I don't know what to make of Deshaun Watson, I think they're sleeping on the other things about the Cleveland Browns that might make them really damn good. Namely that defense. Namely the fact that I think this is the same team that won 11 games last year, except now you have, at least going into this season, a healthy Deshaun, and you've added Jerry Jeudy and maybe a different middle linebacker. So it's the same team, the same engine, same coaching staff, at least on your defensive coordinator and your play caller. I think people might be sleeping on the Cleveland Browns. And I think that's exactly where I want them, because the last couple of years, because of the weight of the Deshaun contract, there have been expectations that have only led to disappointment and mockery. And the baseball races will go down to the wire, so follow all the news on 92.3thefan.com and the free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com. And I don't think that first game is going to be a toss-up. I think Dallas is the lesser team, and I think Dallas is going on the road. And I think they have more distractions than you do. Like, I think the only distraction you might have is if Deshaun is distracted by the weight of his own contract. Whether they had a great camp or not, whether they had a great offseason or not, it's been a pretty quiet one for the Cleveland Browns. Hasn't been all that healthy, but the Browns aren't dealing with the distractions the Cowboys are. We have, obviously, all next week to get in on that, but 216-474-0092, the question I threw out early last hour was whether you think the Browns are better on paper right now than they were this time last year. Let's go. Jake, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, so I think on paper the Browns are better than what they were last year. But the main concern is, can our offensive line stay healthy? Can our linebackers stay healthy? Can the defensive line stay healthy? And granted, yes, this is football. Injuries are going to happen. But what, the last 3 years, Jack Conklin's got hurt and he's out for the season. Same thing what happened with Jedrick Wills.
I think those are fair questions. I also think, like, I'm not – I know you kind of already explained this away. Jake, I think every team in the NFL says if we can stay healthy. And I thought they won 11 games last year in spite of what I would say more than normal amount of injuries that hit this team, including the crucial parts of it, as you mentioned, the O-line in multiple places, the cornerback room with Denzel Ward. There really wasn't a spot last year, whether it's depth or starter, that wasn't touched by injuries. And you still succeeded. I think that should at least give us a little faith to believe, even if you're not 100% healthy or if you have more health issues, you know, later in the season, that you at least can remain competitive and give yourself a chance in each one of those games.
And I agree. And even you said it earlier, you know, 2022, Deshaun sucked. He got better in 23. And I think we're going to see the uphill trend with Deshaun, where he's back to that Deshaun Watson form that he was in Houston. Granted, it's hopeful, but I think it could happen.
Jake, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. Ron Warner on Twitter saying, I used to get excited about getting up on Sunday morning and prepping and getting ready for the Browns game no matter what, but it's just lost right now for me. I think Watson is going to, you know what, the bed and waste a year. Watson just is blah. I don't want to tell you how to fan and how to feel. That's just not where I am. That might come to pass. But I just think it's just something that is, it's just going to require a little bit of patience. And I know nobody likes that because we want to be great week one and then you want to be great week six. I bashed Guardians fans for constantly looking at the global and panicking. Like, right, every time they're playing well, it's either... every time they're playing poor, it's either, well, they're fine because their record's still good, which might not be true in that moment, or if they're playing poorly, it becomes some sort of a knock on the Dolans or Chernetti. And it gets ridiculous. It's the guys on the field that make this go out. In this case, though, with the Browns, I kind of think a global view is kind of what we have to have. I'm pretty confident week one against Dallas. Dak Prescott is a hell of a quarterback, and I'm giving him the credit that he is the biggest doubt that I have, even against the Browns defense. But I don't necessarily think that a team with that kind of distraction is something we should just that maybe the distractions won't be a bigger part of the story early on in the season, especially with 1 week to go or a little over a week to go, the owner and the quarterback, you know, having public negotiations out there for everyone to see. Let's go, Larry. Welcome on the show, bud.
Hey, I'll just say, man, thank you for having your show, man. Three things, man. Let's say the prayers out to Jim Donovan, man. I know him, man, personally, good guy, whole family. Also, Bernie Kosar, say prayers for him, man, because them guys, they was our front runners for right now. man, and Bernie, man, he was one of the best quarterbacks we ever had.
Yep.
He took us to the division final. But most of all, Deshaun's going to make it. Reason why, pressure on him, most of all, you're going to see the new one. I believe in him. But most of all, man, I'm tired of these wannabes, people from out of town, trying to criticize your quarterback. Don't even live in Cleveland, man. Come on. One thing for sure, man, we got to support our team no matter what. He's our leader. This gold, man, this man, we need an offensive tackle. Without a Waller line, we ain't gonna be fine. I'm going to keep it real. We need an offensive tackle, man, to keep that left side covered because that is a blind spot. And we need a reliable player. Go get Williams from the 49ers or something because you spend that type of money on receivers and backs and quarterback. You need the line. One lineman become, man, is so important, man. And we in the city of Cleveland, we're going to be a dog pile next Sunday. I'll be down there. Hope you'll be, man. We're going to take pictures. Let's have fun. This dog, the Cleveland Browns. We ain't no clowns no more. We gonna show y'all next Sunday. Everybody, let's go. Let's go, Cleveland.
Larry, appreciate the energy you gave us there. Lot, you gave me about three or four different things. I don't have any problem with anyone being down on Deshaun Watson. I tend to look at it and say it's not just one thing. It's not just he didn't play well enough. Right? Which I think is the overall thing. I think that's what we started the segment with. LeSean had to say, well, he didn't play well enough. That is true, at least for across the 2 years. He's not played like the guy was in Houston. So whether I thought he played better last year than he did the year before, or whether I thought last year was much closer to what, you know, the idea of acceptable, I want better than acceptable from Deshaun, but you got to get to acceptable before you get to incendiary. So even then, you can look big picture and go, it hadn't been enough. So if you're cynical about it, I get it. I just think it requires just a little bit more than just, well, he sucks and the team sucks and the sky's falling and why do we even do football anymore? I don't think we should be there. That doesn't mean I'm 99% confident Deshaun is going to get it done this year. I still have questions about Deshaun. And I still, there are things I wish Deshaun had handled better, or better is an objective thing, differently the last 2 years. And I think maybe this disconnect with some fans, not all fans, some fans, that disconnect would be different if Deshaun had handled things a little bit differently. But you go into this year, and I'll be honest with you guys, in the intermediate, right here today, my bigger concern is the offensive line. The Deshaun stuff, I'm giving a little wiggle room there over 17 weeks, taking that global view. At some point, we need to start seeing this average out to being a really good top-flight quarterback. It doesn't need to be week one. But a huge part of that is, what is he getting up front? So the thing that Larry and I do agree on, the 17 things that Larry said, because I can only remember so much, I am in my late 30s now, the hair's getting grayer, starting to disappear a little bit. That left tackle is a real, real concern here. We're just talking about the Browns and all these questions, and I got to be honest with you, one thing ended yesterday, the melodrama with Brandon Ayuk. I'm so glad it's over. Like, if they had traded for Brandon Ayuk, it would have been a really nice trade. He's a really nice football player. But the deeper and deeper we got into this situation where, I'm not saying any of this because he didn't want to come to Cleveland. I'd like to know why he didn't want to come to Cleveland. I'd like to know whether that had to do with Deshaun's health or whether that had to do with the recent history of the Cleveland Browns, actually, you know, beyond these last 4 years, or whether he just doesn't like cold weather. Wouldn't really explain wanting to go to Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh didn't necessarily have the best weather, but Cleveland's weather, a little bit worse than Pittsburgh. I get that. And I'll be honest with you. After everything, I don't necessarily believe and buy that Brandon Ayuk even wanted to go to Pittsburgh. I don't think Brandon Ayuk knew what the hell he wanted. Because if you realize the offer that he signed yesterday, as we were, was that yesterday or 2 days ago? I don't remember.
Yesterday.
Time's a flat circle, man. It's been a week. Now, give me some grace here. I don't know I'm being defensive. But the offer that he signed yesterday, it's the same offer that had been on the table, apparently, from various reports for 20 days. So unless Brandon Ayuk just didn't want to go to training camp, I don't know what the hell that guy wanted. And I do think it is a massive win. Even though he didn't come to Cleveland, I think it's a massive win he stays out of this conference and certainly that he doesn't go to Pittsburgh. I don't know if there's another trade that Pittsburgh could pull off in the 11th hour to add a wide receiver. If you were to talk to anybody, if you put that roster in Indianapolis or Houston or Seattle and you didn't have Mike Tomlin ahead the mast there as head coach, everyone and their brother would pick them to be a top 10 pick this year. Even with T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, even with Cam Hayward, even with George Pickens, even with the desecrated husk of Russell Wilson, everyone and their mother would say, man, that team's going to stink. But because it's Pittsburgh, we don't do that. But the fact that they couldn't pull that off and the fact that everybody's kind of pointing at Pony, that Andrew Filippone was the guy in Pittsburgh who said the one-yard line, that's how close, that the deal's a done deal, that Ayuk's going to Pittsburgh. Guys, it was everybody in Pittsburgh. It wasn't just Pony. It was everybody talking about it. Pittsburgh fans had penciled that dude into black and yellow, and watching them fall apart the last 24 hours has been chef's kiss. It has been borderline kinky. Like, honestly, guys, should be a new subcategory on adult websites. That's how enjoyable it was. Because not only does certain media members, most media members down there who have said reports, and then they reported it, and then it didn't happen, not only is that funny professionally, it's also pretty funny to watch Steelers fans with all three teeth in their mouth fall apart like that. And then you're going to say, Nick, not all yinzers are like that. Uh-huh. I'm just going to say, there's a reason that people in Pittsburgh don't go for a 23andMe. All right? They know. What's that? My mom and my dad, they have the same. Does that mean? You know what it means. You know what happened. It's called inbreeding. I really went down a rabbit hole there, and I mean to come back. But I'm relieved that the Ayuk thing is over. I really am. Because I would have had questions even if he did come to Cleveland. We'd do the Andrew Berry laser eyes thing. We'd get excited. But after the way the offseason went and the way people from San Francisco related to us, I don't think that guy knew what the hell he wanted. And I think there's face value, and then there's the specifics of a situation. Like, it's funny because Ayuk's not the only contractual kerfuffle going on in San Francisco. They still haven't signed Trent Williams to a contract extension. As much as I think Trent Williams is one of the best tackles ever in history, and I think he took over for Joe Thomas as the best left tackle in football, I cannot say enough nice things about Trent Williams. He's 36.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And so even though I'd still have questions about Ayuk, this narrative has kind of come out from Browns fans. And honestly, it's in my text messages as well with my buddies as we talk about Browns football. Well, if you're going to trade him, if you're going to trade for one, I'd rather trade for Trent Williams than Ayuk. Because Trent Williams isn't the headache that Brandon Ayuk is. Yeah, but you got to pay both guys, or you would have to pay both guys. And one is 26 and the other is 36. So I don't think it's as easy as that. I do think it hints to an interesting question for the Browns. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this when the Browns opened up cap space. More than likely, the Browns opened up cap space by restructuring Deshaun's contract as a means to protect themselves, well, to create flexibility for this year, but also create carryover for next, you know, league year. So where you can get on the right side of the cap because you're going to be over the cap as of right now. So that being said, it also gives you that flexibility we talked about to make the move. And so this is, without specifics, this can be a little bit of a tougher question. But I think what made San Francisco in that situation so interesting is you had a number one wide receiver and a perfect left tackle, two things that you could absolutely use this year. Now, in that case, I still rather would have traded for Ayuk, because you have to trade and pay both guys, than Trent Williams. I wouldn't have tossed either out of bed for eating crackers while we're talking about it. I would have liked either one of those. But, like, I probably would have gone Ayuk than Trent Williams. But I think, and we came up with this, and Keith put this in a way in the pre-show that made me think of this a little bit different, which is, what do you trust Andrew Berry more to find next offseason? Is that a left tackle or is that a wide receiver? Because there's a few little aspects of that, but I do think if the Browns are going, there are three things that the Browns could use as a cherry on top move before September 8th. One is a true bona fide number one wide receiver that's younger than Amari Cooper. Jamar Chase ain't coming here, but Brandon Ayuk, well, he also isn't coming here, but like a Brandon Ayuk type, a guy who wants to get paid and who is his current team is unwilling or unable to pay him. Well, CeeDee Lamb's off the table. Well, Brandon Ayuk is off the table. Now, Jamar Chase isn't coming here. I don't know if that guy's out there, quite frankly. Left tackle is the obvious next one. And I don't think Trent Williams, San Francisco is trying to win. There's no way you move on from Trent Williams. I would be shocked if they did that. Because for one, trying to find somebody to give you, using the Ayuk hypothetical trade, trying to find a left tackle in a trade for Trent Williams, well, they're going to give you a left tackle that they were happy to move on so they could take on a 36-year-old tackle with injury history that they have to pay. So I don't think Trent Williams is going anywhere. Trying to find a left tackle in September or late August is of the most fruitless things you can do. And the other one would be defensive tackle. But a lot of this is why I put so much pressure on the Jack Conklin thing. Like, I'm getting way ahead of myself in saying Jack Conklin is auditioning for the left tackle spot because I don't even know Jack Conklin's going to be out there week one. Jed Wills could get healthy enough by the time to play, and Jed Wills could be the left tackle this year. But with Jed, yeah, hypothetically, you could go ahead and, you know, he's got a dead year or two on the rest of his contract, but he's going to be a free agent next year. So you could kick that can down the road and re-sign him. I don't know you should. With Jack, he doesn't have any guaranteed money next year, but you could restructure his contract. You could give him a contract extension, and you could actually have a quality left tackle who, yes, he has health issues, but I think I trust Jack even at the left spot that he hasn't played at since college than I do Jed. But I think it's a fantastic question about what do you trust Andrew Berry to find more to find more next offseason. Because it's not wide receiver. I don't know how it can be. Ironically, tackle and wide receiver have been two places where, from a draft perspective, Andrew really hasn't delivered. We've talked about all the different assets thrown at wide receiver in the draft. I think Cedric Tillman actually is going to be a good football player. But if he does, he'll be the first really good NFL wide receiver that Andrew's drafted. The best otherwise is DPJ, who had one good year and has just gotten run out of Detroit after one season. Actually, half a season. Well, tackle's not very different than that. Jed Wills has not been the worst tackle from that class. That would be Mekhi Becton, who is a planet. He's the third best tackle, though, that went in the top 14. Andrew Thomas of Georgia went way ahead of him. You weren't getting Andrew Thomas. But then Tristan Wirfs went, I believe, three or four picks later. And Tristan Wirfs started as a great right tackle, has now moved over to left tackle, and he's the $150 million left tackle. He's phenomenal, and he's probably going to be that way for another 5 or 10 years in the NFL. Oh, and then James Hudson, who I still like as a swing tackle. Well, James really hasn't developed into a starter either. I actually think he might be a guard, which probably bodes well if you need to replace a couple guards next year or interior linemen. So the truth is, it's by process of elimination. I think it's going to be easier to replace Jed Wills next year simply because I think Browns fans are going to be cool with almost anybody that isn't Jed Wills. That's not fair to Jed. I know that, but that's I just think where we think about Jed. And he does violate one of the Cleveland non-negotiables, which is you got to play hard every second you're out there if you want people in this town to love you. But I think replacing Jed with another average tackle, at least, whether it's in the draft or free agency or trade, is easier for Andrew Berry than replacing Amari Cooper. And so the best thing to replace Amari Cooper is Cedric Tillman takes over for him, and it's Tillman, Moore, and Judy next year, or Tillman, Judy, and one other player, maybe a draft pick. But it's going to be a lot easier to get worse than Amari than it is to get better. 216-474-0092. What do you trust Andrew Berry more to find next offseason, a left tackle or wide receiver? We should probably also throw out before this season, just in case there's any big trade to go out there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.